Blog Talk Radio.
Pray that you have had a blessed week and that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High. You're ready to honor him and hit this, his day, his Shabbat, a day of rest that he has ordained that his people, all that claim to know him, would keep perpetually throughout all times. So we want to thank each and every one of you who are online, who are in listening to us in Blog Talk or Pal Talk on the internet in general. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. I was looking at the dashboard earlier, and as the percentage of our listeners in the U.S., you know, as we get more listeners overseas, the percentage of the listeners in the U.S., that number goes down. And I was, you know, I was making note that the next largest population of listeners that we have are in South Korea. And so we just want to encourage all those listeners in South Korea in the Word of the Most High, and that they continue in this gospel, for truly the Elohim we serve, he is the one and only true Elohim. And so we want to encourage all our listeners everywhere, but to those that the word seems to be spreading in South Korea, especially concerning this ministry and concerning the truth of the Most High. You know, and so we appreciate everybody who logs in to listen, who downloads broadcasts, who believe and who are faithful to the Most High and to the truth of the Word of the Most High. I know that there is a, there is like, I don't call it an advertisement. It's just a, it's a, I don't even know what to call it. It's a little mini series that I do on Facebook called The Truth of the Word of Yah. Because there, you know, I try to address those topics that the world, the church, is, you know, just teaching wrong, and that are causing a lot of people to actually fail in their walk. You know, they may think they're doing the right thing, but then, and ultimately, they are ending up continuing to stay in sin. And so it's called the Truth of the Word of Yah. You know, and so I try to take those subjects that are controversial, those subjects that I don't want to say detrimental here, that they're important to your walk. They're important to your salvation. You know, as I've said over and over and over again, nothing else matters if you're going to end up in the lake. Nothing else matters if you never get into the kingdom of the Most High. Nothing else matters. And so it is crucial that we enter into the kingdom. So I want to say peace and blessings to everyone. Sabbath peace. On this evening, we're in discipleship, and I'm sort of hopping around in discipleship. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 for discipleship on today, on this evening. And there is, you know, a lot in this one verse in Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 6 and verse 1. And I don't think that I can cover it all if I were to do a good job of it. I couldn't cover it all in one lesson. That is so much in this verse, this one verse. Well, actually, the first two verses, Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Okay. So much in those, I said the one verse, but the two verses, that it would just be hard to cover it all in one lesson, maybe two or three, because it's talking about the doctrines of Christ. So we want to read this because what we may think it's saying, you know, this verse, and the reason why I'm covering it, because it puzzled me. The wording of it puzzled me for a while. It really did. It puzzled me because I'm like, why is this word telling us to leave something, especially concerning Christ? Okay. And so I was not getting the gist of it when I was reading it. And, you know, I had to, you know, put it down, go before the Most High, again, ask him to show me. Because I'm like, the way this is worded, it's not coming across to me clearly. And, you know, and I don't want to teach on this and without understanding. And so he gave me the understanding. And I, you know, want to start covering this on today. It's part of the discipleship series, but I'm going to, you know, it's going to, this particular topic will have like five or six subtopics that go with it because it's talking about different doctrines of Messiah. And these things, These are the milk of the word. Okay, these are the things that every Christian should know concerning Messiah's doctrine and what he taught. And this is what when it said to leave the, you know, to leave those things, to leave the principles of the doctrines of Christ, of Mashiach. Then what you know, I said, what are you really saying here? And, you know, you have to go back and read previous chapters and the verses beneath to really get a complete picture. And I had to take it to the Most High and pray on it. And I believe he has given me, you know, a word on it concerning, you know, what we as his disciples, as Messiah's disciples, there, you know, there comes a point. Well, let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. Don't let me, because I'll start and I, you know, I'll just start running, and I know this. So let us do this. Let us greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. Those that are in South America, whatever country you're in South America, Colombia, Brazil, Bolivia, whatever country you're in South America, we greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. If you are in Africa, in Ghana, South Africa, any other nation in Africa, and you are hearing this ministry, we greet you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. If you are in the European theater, many, many countries, I think we've got about 10 or 15, no, about 7 or 8 countries in the European theater that are consistent listeners, we greet you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. In the Far East, Korea, South Korea, Thailand, Japan, we greet you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. In North America, wherever state you may be in, whether you're in Alaska, Hawaii, or any of the other 48 states, Puerto Rico, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We're going to have ask the ladies to cover their heads and ask the men to uncover their heads as we turn toward the east and as we read our statement of faith. And we'll be reading a bunch of scripture when it comes to this, our statement of faith, as we affirm. There's things that we want to reaffirm every Shabbat so that we don't lose sight of these things. We don't lose sight what we're doing, what Messiah is doing with us, that, as I've said before, salvation is to all men. And I never want it to be said that, you know, we're not offering salvation to each and every individual that hears this word and wants to come to the Most High. They must come to him in spirit and in truth. And a lot of the things that you will not hear in the church, I pray that you hear it here so that you truly can come into a right relationship with the Most High and serve him in spirit and in truth. So a lot of the things that I teach, they are hard sayings, and I know. I know that it is, because it's not what the church is teaching, okay, and concerning these subjects. But only thing I ask that you do is that you study it out for yourself, and you let the scriptures tell you, okay, let the scriptures tell you. We have a lot of listeners, and we have a lot of people in this world that I know are diligently seeking after the Most High. And he says he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And he wants us to, you know, get to the point where we don't need milk. And so many people in the world, especially with the internet, you've been able to look up things and something sounds exciting. Something, you know, piques your interest. And you go down that rabbit hole, and we're looking at, you know, trying to look for things that are super deep. And the truth of the matter is, You don't need super deep starting off. And you really don't need super deep really at any time, for the simple reason it's hard enough getting saved and staying saved. That's hard within itself. So when we think that we have to have all of these, you know, this deep understanding in the Word, yes, if you have the milk of the Word down, then you should move on to other things. But it's more so about your walk than it is trying to, you know, get knowledgeable and super deep. When if your salvation is not sure, and let me say this again, if your salvation is not sure, then keeping your salvation, getting your salvation first and keeping it should be the utmost importance to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And it's a daily thing. Trust me, it's a daily thing. So we want to make sure number one, we're coming into truth. Number two, that we are recognizing the Most High Elohim as the Most High Elohim and giving him all the due reverence and respect and fear that is due him. He is not your friend. He is not your buddy. He is not the one that you know, you can just approach any kind of way. These are all, you know, when the Most High called Abraham his friend, who else did he call his friend? You won't find anybody else that he will call his friend. It's a special relationship. And so we want to assume a lot of things that we ought not assume. He is a fierce Elohim. He is fierce, terribly fierce. And people are not respecting him and giving him his due respect, period. When I'm looking at, you know, the way people are running their lives and the things that they're teaching, they're not giving him his due respect, his due fear, and they're going to answer for those things. But this ministry is focused on bringing us back into a true and a right relationship with the Most High. That is what he has authorized me to speak on his behalf in this area. And to Israel first, and then to the rest of the world, because he is waking Israel up. He has been waking Israel up for a while now, and we have to get it right. But, you know, some of us remain blind. Some of us are half asleep. Some of us are fully awake and still refusing to do what the Most High said to do. That's not my problem. And that, you know, is never my issue. I'm not Messiah. Okay, my job is to simply tell it like it is and to teach it in such a way that you can live it. And so I just want, you know, all the listeners to understand that. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anyone into, period. That's all going to be Messiah. But I have been commissioned by the Most High to teach this gospel of the kingdom and to tell the truth concerning his people and the children of the Most High and the world and how we're looking at him. And so if you know, you hear me saying, fear him, fear him, fear him. You hear me saying he does terrible things. You don't hear me talking about his mercy all the time. You don't hear me talking about his grace and his love all the time. Why? Because people take advantage of those things. And they think that they can just walk in that and continue to do what they're doing and it's all good. That is, it's not all good. So, you know, the Most High, you know, this is our chance to get it right to come to him. And become a righteous generation before him. Speaking to the young people, speaking to the old people. The old people need to train the young people up in the right way that they ought to go. Have to tell them the truth. You can't tell them what we feel like. Well, we don't want to run them away. We don't want to hurt their feelings. We might even have trained them a certain way only to find out that the way we trained them was in error. I myself fell into that category. You know, as we know to do better, we have to do better. You know, and so we just want to be that good and faithful servant. So ladies, cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. If you're in the east, you might want to turn toward the west, whichever direction Jerusalem is from you. Because if you claim to be a follower of Messiah, then you are joining the nation of Israel. You're joining the body of Messiah. That is where his capital will be. That is where Solomon, you know, declared that we should turn. Face, even the stranger. I think we're going to read that today. I usually don't read that portion, but we're going to read that today. Since we have, you know, so many new followers in different countries listening in, we want to include those verses in the reading today. So we know that it's not just to Israel, but it's also to those who are in other countries who have heard of the Most High, believe on him, and want to call upon him. Okay? Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, or Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim, the Most High Elohim, on his day. Let us honor him with a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. 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 10,000 praises to you, O Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. You are Elohim, Father, and we will worship you and bow down to you and to you alone, Father. It is you that we seek after, Father. It is you that we love. And we love you because you first loved us. Hallelujah. What a great and great redemption and salvation you have given to us, O Father. And we just love you for thinking about us and making a way where there was no way for us, Father, because we had no way to get back to you. You are so high above us that if you did not make a way, we would not have a way, Father. And we just want to thank you for that on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to Yah Elohim. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Father, on today. And we give you all the honor and the glory. For you are Elohim. You are the only Elohim that there is. And to another we will not bow down to. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Father, we ask that you would deliver us from this captivity. Deliver us from every nation that we are in. We pray for the seed of Abraham. We pray for all those Hebrew Israelites that are still asleep. We pray for all those that are awake. Father, give us all an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, as we go our way this morning through the scriptures or this evening, Father, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let us go to 1 Kings, and I read 1 Kings because this prayer by Solomon was not just to Israel, even though he was addressing Israel, but he addressed all of the nations. And, you know, when I read this prayer, it just so did something to my soul that this is, you know, foundational for every single person in the world, no matter what generation, that if they get this understanding and they do what Solomon is asking, that they will come to Messiah and they will come to him in spirit and in truth. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 9. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 9. And we're going to be reading down through about 52 or 53. So be prepared to read, you know, a lot of the scriptures. You know, we're not scared of reading scriptures, and we don't make a doctrine off of one verse. So we read a lot of scriptures here, and I pray that you are, you know, because a lot of people, a lot of words scares them, but you know, we want to be well grounded in this word. Okay, in order to be well grounded in it, we have to read it, we have to study it. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 9. This is talking about when they were dedicating the temple, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant, and then Solomon gets up and he blesses and he prays to the Most High, and he blesses the people. There was nothing in the Ark save two tablets of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when Yah made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud sealed the house of Yah, and so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of Yah had sealed the house of Yah. Then spake Solomon. Yah said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be Yah Elohim of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and has with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of Yah Elohim of Israel. And Yah said unto David my father, Whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build a house, but thy son shall come forth that shall come forth out of thy loins. He shall build a house unto my name. And Yah has performed this his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as Yah promised, and have built a house for the name of Yah Elohim of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of Yah which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of Yah, in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Yah Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim like thee, in heaven above or on the earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who hath kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him. Thou speakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Yah Elohim of Israel, keep thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O Elohim of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto, let me read that again because I felt like I read that wrong. And now, O Elohim of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will Elohim indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to the supplication, O Yah, my Elohim, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer, which thy servant prayed before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there. That thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servant, and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague and whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but comes out of a far country for thy name's sake. For they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calls to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto Yah toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Let us go now to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Let us get to verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? What does he require of you? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. Go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. And we're going to get verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And as I said, we don't want to be scripture shy. We don't want to have that mentality that they're reading too much of the word. This is what we're supposed to do. And these scriptures that we are reading are to remind us. This is who and what we are. This is what we are to do. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. I don't care what the world is saying to you. You can only have one. And he says, he's it. And if you claim him, you can't be doing anything else with any other. Not on the sly, not, you know, ignorantly, because the day you find out that you're worshiping another God that is not the Most High, and you claim that the Most High is your God, then you are to repent of that. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water up under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. You got to understand, if we're worshiping anything other than him, he says, we hate him. We might not feel like we hate him, but he says, I feel like you hate me. And it's what he thinks that matters, not what we think. It's what he thinks. And showing mercy unto them, unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. This is who he shows mercy to, those that love him. Okay, and keep his commandments. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs 8 and 17. I love them that love me. The one speaking in this verse is the Most High Elohim. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. If you love me, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 15. I love them that love me. Remember that. Messiah sums it up in the New Testament this way. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, he said, you don't love him. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. Let us sound the shofar. We want to always keep these verses before us. We want to always make sure that we are walking within them. We want to always be reminded. This is what we're looking for. This is what we are trying to fulfill. This is what we need our salvation for. The sounding of the shofar, because he says on each Sabbath and each new moon that we should sound the shofar and he will come. We need the Most High to be a part of this teaching. We need the Most High to be a part of our lives. We want him to show up in whatever we're doing. We want to be guided by him. I want to decrease and let the Most High increase. Let it be him that you hear from. Hallelujah. Thank you.
can't be parted. There is no mountain that can't be moved. I know there's help for the heavy hearted. The weak will find their strength renewed. You just gotta have faith. You just gotta have faith. It's life or the shadow for all your tomorrow. It's knowing he's there through the sun and the rain. It's when you believe it before you can see it. And you can walk on, cause he's making a way. Just gotta have some faith. You gotta have some.
above. All things are possible in you. God of exceedingly, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful, your words unstoppable. All things are possible. Yeah. Make way through the water, walk me through the fire. Do what you want.
Definition, we are in discipleship, and so I have said that I would review these things each time because I don't know what lesson people will pick this up in. A disciple has been shown to be someone who follows the teachings, life, and aim of another until the person becomes like the master. Discipleship in Christianity, or to a Christian sense, is the process of making someone become like Christ or like Mashiach. The disciple of Mashiach is to become Mashiach or Christ-like in everything. So that's what the definition of a disciple is. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 9 through 17. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 9 through 17. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 33. It's not given to everybody to hear or see the gospel of the kingdom, the true gospel. And so the Most High has to draw you. He has is the one that has to reveal it to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Got to first want the kingdom. That's got to be the first thing in our lives. We got to be seeking his kingdom. He says, seek the kingdom first, and all these other things shall be added unto us. We don't want to make the kingdom the second, the third, the fourth priority in our life, and then think that it's pleasing to the Most High, because it's not. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Let's get verse 44 through 46. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46, because we have to understand that this has to be our heart concerning the kingdom. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field. That which, when a man has found it, he hides, and for joy thereof, goes and sells all that he has, and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. That means that you got to value the kingdom as the most valuable thing in your life. It's got to be the most precious and valuable thing that you know and feel that you can own. And what wouldn't you sell? It says sell everything. These persons went and they sold everything to obtain the kingdom. And so we as disciples have to understand that this has to be our mentality. Most of us telling us these things for a reason. This is the mentality that I want you to have. I want you to value this kingdom so much that no matter what you have, it's not as valuable as this kingdom. You'll be willing to sell everything you have to obtain the kingdom. Give up everything you have to obtain the kingdom. So that has to be the disciples' mentality. Have to want it with your whole heart. Have to desire it with everything that you have. The book of Psalms, chapter 119. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. With the whole heart. Not with a piece of you. Not what you want to give up. Most High says, if you don't give me your all, I don't want you. We can think what we want. We can say what we want. But if we're contrary to the word of the Most High, let the Most High be true and every man a liar. Because the Most High says, I want your all. Give me your whole heart, not a piece of you. Don't let me be an afterthought. Don't let your life be first and in me second. Psalms 119, verse 34. Give me understanding and I will keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. When you have understanding, then you know that you have to keep his law. And you got to keep it with your whole heart. It's got to be precious to you. As his disciple, it's got to be. Got to be precious. Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24. If you're going to be a disciple of Messiah, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. This is what he wants Israel to do. This is what he wants the Gentile to do. He wants the Gentile to come to him with his whole heart from the beginning. He wants Israel to return with their whole heart. That means that you are fully committed. You're going to keep his commandments. Now that you're fully committed to trying to find a way out of keeping them. Now that you're trying to distance yourself from the people that he chose. Because he says he will never forsake them. He's just not going to save all of them. You know, the disobedient ones, he's like, just because you're Israel, you don't get to come in. You were disobedient, you don't get to come in. You don't get to enter into my rest. You don't get to be my people. I cut you off. To Israel that's obedient, you're my people. You're that peculiar treasure. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 33. And then we will get into the precept for this evening. This aspect, I just want to make sure that we keep these things before ourselves. It's not Brother Miles saying these things, but we are reading them in the scripture. You got to be worthy. We got to make ourselves worthy. We got to do those things that he asked for us. Serve me with your whole heart. Seek after me. Make me the most valuable thing in your life. If you're coming at me any other kind of way, then you don't want me. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 through 33. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You love anybody, anything more than you love the Most High, you love Messiah, he says you can't be his disciple. These are not the words of Brother Miles, these are words of Messiah. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Who doesn't consider what it's going to take to do the work? You're going to build a house. You're going to buy a car. You're going to go on a trip. You know, who doesn't consider the cost of whatever the task is that they're trying to do? You got to do the same thing with being Messiah's disciple. He says, I want you all. Now consider the cost. What is it going to cost you? Your all. Your whole heart. You can't want anything in this life more than you want his kingdom. And if you do, then you're going to fall short. Those are his standards. Verse 29, least happily after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. And all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. We don't ever want to, you know, nothing we do, we want to start it and then have to give it up. Wasted all that time, wasted all that money, did everything that we were supposed to be doing and didn't achieve what it was that we were trying to achieve. So the Most High says, when you're coming to be Messiah's disciple, you got to consider the cost. And if you're not willing to pay the cost, if you're not willing to give your all, you shouldn't be doing any of this. Because not giving your all is going to make you fall what? Short. Period. I want your all. I want your whole heart. I don't want to be an afterthought. I need to be the most precious thing in your life. You need to desire me more than you desire your very children. Either those that you begat or those that you pushed out. Can't come before the Most High. Verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consults whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against them with 20,000. Got to look at the battle. Am I able to win this battle? Or should I try to make peace? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an emissary, an ambassador, and desires condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. He's telling us right here, point blank. You want to be his disciple? You want to say you belong to him? You want to become like him? Then you have to be willing to give up your all. He has to come first. This is paramount. This is critical to understanding our salvation. See, many people want salvation, but they don't want to have to do anything for it. It's not by your works. You got to get being saved first. That's by grace, and it's his gift. Once you accept the gift, then you got to be willing to do and to value it. Whatever he says to do, I will obey your voice. So as his disciple, you have to understand that. Nothing in this world can be more important than him. Nothing in this world can come before him. Nothing in this world can come before his kingdom. You know, my regret is, for my own life, is that I took too long to come to him. I took too long to give him my all. Okay, that's my personal regret. Because when I read it in the scriptures, you know, I wasn't being told this. Not what people were harping on. Not what they were stressing. They were stressing, oh, the Most High will bless you. He'll forgive you. Those are milk. It's milk. And so this is what we want to talk about on tonight. Okay. Now I do a milk series. Everything that, you know, the new saint, every Christian should know. But we're talking about discipleship on this evening, so we want to go to Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to talk about discipleship in the light of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Okay. Because these lead us to many other verses. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, of Mashiach, let us go on to perfection. That always, it just never set well with me until I really understood what he was actually really saying here. Leaving the principles of the doctrines of Mashiach, let us go on to perfection. What is he talking about? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. That shouldn't, you shouldn't have to relearn that over and over and over again. You shouldn't have to lay that foundation over and over and over again. You should have the understanding that you got to repent from dead works. What are dead works? Any works that will bring you death, that will cause you not to enter into the kingdom, are dead works. Sin. All sin is a dead work. It will bring you death. Eternal death in the lake of fire. So every Christian, every person that follows Mashiach should know this and should not have to be retaught it over and over and over again, should not have to be reminded of it over and over and over again. Putting down, leaving the principles of the doctrine, going on to perfection. You should be able to take that and build upon it. Build upon it and not have to what? Be reminded constantly. See, when we want something with our whole heart and when we value it, we place the proper importance on it, importance in our life on it. And we grow in it. So we shouldn't have to keep going over the same doctrine of repentance from dead works. You should be a totally new saint to have to hear that. And if the church is teaching it properly, which I know, I've gone out there and looked, and I'm like, wow, wow, wow. Where are they getting some of this stuff from? Dead works. Things that are going to bring you death. Anything concerning sin. That was Messiah's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent from what? Your dead works. Your sin. You're doing things to make yourself look all big and stuff, but it's only for your glory. It's not for the glory of the Most High. Your things that you're doing to take advantage of someone, to take from and not give to. Your things you're doing that are transgressing his commandments, his laws, his statutes, his judgments. Those foundations, that foundation shouldn't have to be taught over and over and over again. The principles of it, The principles of that doctrine we should know and understand. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. So as a disciple, you're saying you're trying to be like him. You're saying you're becoming him. You're saying that you want to enter into the kingdom. You want to pass the test, because the bottom line is, if we don't become like him, and we're told to become like him, we don't pass. If we're not giving him our whole heart, he's saying this is what it's going to take. You got to value me so valuable that I'm the most important thing in your life. Period. There's nothing that you would hold on to obtain the kingdom. It's got to be that valuable to you. Proverbs chapter 6, and let's get verses 16 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Oh, I guess I should get in Proverbs. And excuse me for a minute. All right, sorry about that. Proverbs, and let me get into Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things does Yah hate. Seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Most High doesn't like pride. He doesn't like for his saints to be proud and puffed up. A lying tongue. Most High doesn't like liars. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift and running to mischief, to do evil. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that sows discord amongst the brethren. The last one of these, he that sows discord amongst the brethren, he says he really hates that. Those are dead works. He hates them. And anything involved with these things, he hates. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's get verses 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Be ye therefore followers of Elohim as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ, or Mashiach, also has loved us, and has given himself for us as an offering, and a sacrifice to Elohim for a sweet-smelling savor, a sweet smell in the Most High's nostrils. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, Mashiach, and of Elohim. These are the dead works. Repenting from them. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of Elohim upon the children of disobedience. We should have to be told this over and over again. Shouldn't have to be reminded of it. Let's continue in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. So let me start reading that again. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance unto, from dead works, and of faith in Elohim. Of faith in Elohim. Because this is what Israel was constantly accused of, not having faith, not believing what Elohim said, not believing the full counsel of the Most High, believing, you know, he has offered me salvation, no matter what I do, I can't lose it. Believing that I can continue to sin, and all I got to do is ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive me. Believing that none of us is perfect, and the Most High knows our heart, and he will judge us according to our heart, and if we are willfully sinful, we know something is sin, he will still forgive us, because he knows our heart. If we know it's wrong, then that's our heart. I knew it was wrong, but I was going to be disobedient anyway. He's not going to forgive that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith towards Elohim. These are the doctrines of Mashiach. This is what every saint, those that are disciples, should be well versed in. And shouldn't have to be, you know, taught this stuff over and over and over again. Have to be well versed in it. That's why he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, taking what we learned and what, building upon it, becoming better in it and at it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. The evidence of things not seen. Something that you believe in that you have no proof of, you haven't seen it. That's faith. Can't prove it. Who of us can say we have seen the Most High, that we have physically seen him? I don't think any of us, but I never know. And so we believe in him by faith. We believe he exists, but we have never seen him. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So having not seen the Most High, physically seen him, we said we believe in him. We can believe that these are his works. We have faith that he exists. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to Elohim must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. People believe that the Most High is, and they believe he's a rewarder, but they don't believe that that reward can be good or bad. I'm going to give every man according to his works. That's his reward. We want to believe that, oh, he's a rewarder of everybody, and that's a positive thing. It's not positive if you're on the negative side. It's not positive if you are on his bad side. He's still going to reward you. So we've got to understand that the verse is true. Got to believe that he is, and he's going to reward everybody. In a good way, those that what diligently seek him. In a bad way, those that don't diligently seek him. Okay? Let's jump down to verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Most High came to Abraham and Sarah, gave them a promise that she would have a child. And she judged the Most High as being faithful. He's good for his word. Said Israel didn't do this all the time. This was the problem he had with Israel. It's a problem what he has with any of his people. So we have to believe him in all that we do, in everything. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. And I didn't read all those other examples of faith. Proverbs chapter 3. And let's get verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Remember he said he wants our all of our heart. He wants our whole heart. Trust in Yah with all thine heart. Not with some of your heart. With all your heart. And then lean not to your own understanding. We're going to see a lot of the times, especially with the word of the Most High, and especially with false doctrine being out there and thieves being out there and wolves being out there. Organizations can be wolves. It's just everybody in the organization don't know they're a wolf. Lean not to your own understanding. The Most High has to give the understanding. Don't force your understanding into the scripture. Don't force what you think into the scriptures. Because a lot of the times, we feel a certain way about a certain thing, and we will inject our feelings and our understanding into the scripture. It's got to work this way because this is how I feel about it. It's got to work this way because this is what I think about it. Scripture says, trust in Yah with all thine heart and lean not to unto thine own understanding. You want understanding? Ask the Most High. Please give me clarity into this. Because we can even study for ourselves. And if the Most High has determined that he's not going to give us the understanding, we can read all we want. He might say, no, your heart ain't right before me. So we have to ask him, and he has to give it to us. And whatever he gives to us, because we went to him and asked, that's what we have to believe. And pray that he's not causing us to do what? Believe a lie. Because he does that. But no, wait a minute. You can't say that. If we have been so wicked, if we have been so disobedient for so long, he will cause us to believe a lie. That he might judge us. And he's judging us, causing us to be that way. Yep, I caused you to be a vessel of dishonor. Because when you came to me and I came to you, you were not honorable with me. You did not honor my word. You did what was right in your own eyes. And even though I sent people to tell you, you continued to do what's right in your own eyes. And when you knew better, you continued to do what's right in your own eyes. So I turned you over to that, and I caused you to believe a lie. Now, can't nobody tell you that it's not a lie? I caused you to believe it. But if we want understanding, we have to go to him. The book of Mark, chapter 9. The book of Mark, chapter 9. Verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Yeshua said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. When it comes to working with the Most High, and you step out on faith, you step out because the Most High told you to do something, and then maybe he sends a test to you. Maybe it doesn't seem achievable. And to see if you're going to doubt, to see if you truly believe. If you can truly believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Can move mountains, drain oceans, do whatever it is that the Most High has said that he wants for you to do. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's get verses 8 and 9. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. This is our faith toward Elohim. It's a doctrine that Messiah taught, that we are supposed to go on from these principles. These are our foundations. It's not where we stop at. We should grow from here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of Elohim, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if any man thinks that he could keep the law perfectly and that he had never sinned, he might think that he can save himself. He might not believe that he's a sinner. I keep all the law. Yeah, and I believe I keep it perfectly. And he might say, oh, I'm not a sinner. And the scriptures want us to know this thing is a gift from the Most High, because you were born in iniquity and shaped in sin. I made sure of it. I made sure that all men and women who have a man involved in their reproduction, it is iniquity. It is an unclean act. And when you come out, your very nature, your thoughts, are just like all other men's, evil continually. You'll find something evil to think about or do or to ponder. And we might not think it's evil, because we're going by our own standards. We're going by what's right in our own minds. We're not doing, we don't know the standards of the Most High. So we even know when we're having an evil thought. But because we don't know it, doesn't make it not evil. Doesn't make it not sin. How old were you when you thought about taking something that you knew wasn't yours? How old were you when you thought about doing something you know you ought not do, but you did it anyway? You knew it was wrong, but you had made up your mind to do it. And we want to take a pass because we were what? We were only so old, and we say, oh, they didn't know any better. But we know that's not really the truth. Because even as children, younger than the age of 7 or 8 or 6, there were things that we were told, no, don't do it, and we did it anyway. And we knew it was wrong. Now, we might not have understood the whole ramification of it, but we knew it was wrong. So we can't say. We can't brag. Because the sin is like this. I use this example. And, you know, some people get it, some people don't. But I'll see if you get it. If I loan you $100 and then I forgive you that $100 debt, I say, oh, you don't have to pay me. I forgive you that debt. Are you still a borrower? Do you still owe me? Is the question. And the answer to the question would be yes. You still owe me. Because you borrowed from me. And even if I forgive you that debt, you still owe me. The only way for you not to owe me is to pay me. So you are still a debtor. You're just a forgiven debtor, but still a debtor. So before you borrowed from me, you weren't in debt to me, and you weren't a debtor, not unless you borrowed from somebody else. We're just going to say you borrowed from me. You didn't borrow from anybody else. I hope we can get this, because this is the way sin works. You borrowed from me. You went from being a non-debtor to a debtor. I forgave you the debt. You don't have to pay that back to me. You are now a forgiven debtor. You're still a debtor. You borrowed. You still owe. But I've forgiven you. I say, hey, I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm not going to make you pay me. But the truth of the matter is that any time that I wanted to, I could come back to you and say, hey, you remember that $100 you borrowed? I need it. But you forgave me that, I know, but now I need it. I can bring that back on you at any time. And you can say, well, I ain't honor it because you forgave me. But this is how the Most High does sin. And this is what all of us need to understand. He says, if you don't forgive those who owe you, who have sinned against you, he won't forgive your sin. And he will put your sins back on you. That's the parable. The man with the 10,000 talents that owed the king, and the king forgave him those 10,000 talents. And then he went and found somebody that owed him one talent or one pence, a penny, and he wouldn't forgive that man. He had him thrown in jail. And then the king called the first man back and said, hey, you evil and wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, and then you wouldn't forgive your brother. Now I'm bringing all your debt back on you. And throwing you in prison, your wife and your children, just like I was going to do from the beginning before you begged me not to. And you got to repay me that debt, even though I forgave you. You still owed me. And because you didn't pass it on to somebody else, I'm calling your debt back. That's the parable. And then it goes on to say, so is your heavenly Father. This is how he operates. So we got to be willing to forgive, or our sin can be brought back on us. And it's not by our works. Mosiah says, I extend the scepter to you so that you can't brag. It's a gift because you're not worthy of it. You're not really worthy of this gift. but I'm going to give it to you. So we can have our sins brought back on us. And it's not that we should be able to boast about that we're so clean and pure. Our salvation is the gift of the Most High. He says, hey, I made a way for you to receive salvation. And if you don't forgive those that I tell you to forgive, if you don't forgive those who offend you, I won't forgive you. And if you don't forgive those who offend you, I will turn around and put all of your debt back on you because you still owe me. You're just a forgiven sinner. Let's go to that parable. Just a minute. Let me find that. Give me a hot second. Maybe I should look in the right covenant. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, the book of Matthew chapter 18. Somebody, how often should you forgive your brother who offends you? You can forgive them, and you should forgive them 7 times 70, like Messiah said. He didn't say you had to keep dealing with them. Okay, but you can forgive them. You're dealing with them. Start in verse 22. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 22. Yeshua said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times 70, but until 70 times 7, that you should forgive anybody that offends you. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. Let me give you a parable. Let me give you a story to teach you a lesson about the kingdom. I forget what they call this. An allegory. Let me give you an allegory. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him, the king, 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not paid, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all he had, and payment to be made. I want my 10,000 talents. You don't have it. I'm going to sell you, your wife, your children, your land, everything. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, O Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Have patience, have mercy. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him that debt. Forgave him that debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid his hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Now, 1 penny versus, we'll say, $1,000. The one man was forgiven $1,000, 1,000 talents, 10,000 talents. We'll say, just leave it where it is. And this penny, this pence, he won't forgive his fellow servant a penny. Grabs him by the throat. Now, he's a forgiven debtor. He was in debt. And his debt has been forgiven. But now he won't forgive somebody the same debt. You owe me a penny. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and brought him, saying, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord, their master, all that was done. Remember that servant you forgave all that debt? Then his lord and master, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you desired me. You wished it. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord or his master was wroth, was angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Wait a minute. This king forgave him. This master forgave him his debt. Then he found out that he didn't forgive somebody else. He called that debt right back on him. The only way for you to come from under this debt is to pay the debt back. So you go from debtor to non-debtor. And if you don't pay it back, in this case you are forgiven, you go from debtor to forgiven debtor. You're still a debtor. Just a forgiven debtor. And as long as you are forgiven that debt, it can be called back on you. For the only way that you can come from under it is to pay it. Now, I'm not a debtor. I don't owe you anything. This is how sin works. Therefore, you can't pay your own debt for sin. So once you enter into sin, the wages of sin is what? Death. Since you can't pay the debt yourself, you needed somebody to pay it for you. So the Most High says, okay, I made a way to pay your debt that you couldn't pay for yourself. Now, if you don't forgive other people, I'm going to throw your debt back on you. I'm going to throw your sin back on you. So likewise, Matthew 18:35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses, their sins, their debts against you. So your debt can be put back on you. Your sin can be put back on you. You got to know that Elohim will do this. Yeah, he forgave you your debt. But if you are not like-minded like him, if you are not trying to become Christ-like, and you want to hold other people to a different standard, you want the Most High to forgive you, but then you want to hold other people to a different standard, he says, hey, remember what I forgave you of? All that is back on you. And you're going to pay the debt. In this case, the wages of sin is debt. You're going to die. And I'm going to throw you in that lake of fire. I'm going to bring you back to life, give you eternal life, and throw you in the lake where you can't die. But you can feel that pain. Because you said you belong to me as long as it was convenient for you. But as soon as you had to be like me, you were nothing like me. You actually proved to be wicked. Can we hear what the Most High is saying? Having faith toward him that what he says, he means. And when we don't seek after him with our whole heart, when he's a convenience to us, when he's not the most precious thing in our life, when we want other things more than we want him, we're like this wicked servant. We want our stuff forgiven, but then we're going to hold everybody else by a different standard. Or maybe we only hold certain other people by a different standard. He said, no, if you're going to be like me and you're going to have faith in me, you got to do what I do. When he says, be thou perfect, and this is what a lot of people don't understand. When he says, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. Then he says, because I forgave you while you were still my enemy. Now I want you to forgive your enemies like I forgave you. You were still in transgression against me, and I forgave you. Be perfect like I'm perfect. Do what I do. Don't steal from other people. Don't lie. Don't do any of the things I said don't do, and do all the things I said to do. Be perfect in that way. Because I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And you need to be have faith in me that I'm going to do exactly what I said I'm going to do. Did not this king forgive this man his debt? He did. He forgave him. And then that servant proved unworthy. And the Most High put that man's debt back on him. And made him pay for it. He says, I'm going to do exactly what I told you I'm going to do. I'm going to forgive you your sin. You are a forgiven sinner. Still a sinner. Until you come into the kingdom, the new kingdom, until you make it across the finish line, you are still a sinner. You're just a forgiven sinner. And if you don't do what I say to do, and if you don't do like I say to do, and if you hold other people to a different standard, you came to me and said, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness, and then somebody trespassed against you and you didn't forgive them. He says, I'm going to put it back on you. All of it. Your debt. You now, because you still owe me. You still owe me. Let's go someplace else. And this is out of what I'm, not part of the scriptures that I originally got, but these go with it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's let's start in verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. Not all things are in my best interest. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But Elohim shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for Yah, and Yah for the body. This is why man was created. This is why the Most High made Adam and made Eve. He desired to dwell on the earth in this realm. And it's by our bodies that he planned to do it. That's why he said, David, what temple are you going to build for me? Seeing that my hand has made all these things. If I wanted a temple, don't you know, I would have already built myself a temple. And I have. It's you. I want to dwell in you. So the body is not for fornication, but for Yah, and Yah for the body. And Elohim has both raised up Mashiach or the Master, and will also raise us up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? Elohim forbid. What? Know you not that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall become one flesh. But he that is joined unto Yah is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of Elohim, and you are not your own. You don't belong to you. Your body is not yours to do with what you want to do with it. If you say you are his disciple and you say that the Most High is in you, let's go to the next verse. For you are bought with a price. You were purchased. You are not your own. Therefore glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Elohim's. He owns you body, soul, and spirit. If you say that you belong to him, your body ain't yours to do with what you want to do with it, when you want to do it. You were purchased. You are in debt. He says, now, I give you life, and I give it to you freely. But I can take back that life. Why? Because not only am I your creator, but I came down in the form of a man and purchased you in the ways of the world and on a spiritual level. Because you are my temple. You are the vessel that I made for myself to walk in the earth. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, supposed to be in you? This is not true of everybody. But if you're a true disciple of the Most High, and you have done what he said to do, if you have faith in him, then you are supposed to receive the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High. He's supposed to walk in you. He's supposed to dwell in you. Let's get one more scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 23. You are bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men. And what he's meaning by this is, don't let mankind rule you, and don't let the ways of mankind rule you. Be not servants of men. Whom you serve, that's who you belong to. He says, you belong to me. You were bought with a price. You are Christ's servants. Let's go up a couple of verses. Verse 22. For he that is called in Yah, being a servant, is Yah's free man. You've got to understand that there's a freedom to this. I'm free, but I know I'm his servant. And there's a freedom in that because I know that I had a debt that he paid. I couldn't pay it myself. He paid it for me. So being his servant, I am his free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So if you're a free person, according to the world, then you understand that you were bought with a price also and you are Christ's servant. If you are a servant, you got to understand that your freedom is in Christ, is in Messiah. And you're free to serve. Because he tells you to serve as unto him, just like he tells a wife. To serve her husband as she would serve him. I look at a lot of wives and say, would you serve the Most High that way? Because it's a commandment. But we are his servants. We are free in him. And we understand that, you know what? I'm in bondage. I'm in bondage in this world to this system, this man. When we were really slaves. But our freedom was in, he said, I'm not a respecter of persons. So if you do what I told you to do, when it comes time for the reward, then I'm going to reward you according to how you obeyed me. If you were a servant and you served your masters the way I told you to serve your masters, not with eye service, but serving them from the heart, because I put you in that position. He says, I'm going to judge you that way. And I'm going to judge the master according to how he treated you. Because I told him a way that he had to treat you as well. But the truth of the matter is, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Mashiach paid in blood for you and for me. So we can't do with ourselves what we want to do. We have to obey the one who owns us. Let us stop here for this evening. You are bought with a price. Understand that. You are not your own. You belong to Mashiach. You belong to the Most High. And it is his spirit that should be dwelling in you. In everything we do, we should have that in mind. It has to be according to his word. It has to be according to his standards. Can't do it the way we want to do it and then say, oh, well, he has to accept it. Seems right to me. Matter of fact, that actually brought another verse to my mind, and we'll get out of here. Let's see if this is the correct wording. Hold on a second. This verse goes right with what I'm saying. I really want to get this. Let me see if I can find this. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And let's get verse 12 or 13. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He says the same thing in Proverbs chapter 16. We don't go by what we think is right. We don't develop our own standard and say, oh, yeah, Proverbs 16:25 says the same thing. So we have to understand we don't go by our own understanding. We've got to go by the Most High. We don't come up with and say, oh, well, this seems right, so that's what I'm going to do. What does he say is what we should be always asking ourselves. What does he say concerning this? And then we have to be willing to walk in that. You can't say, oh, well, he's going to have to forgive me. Because, no, he doesn't. That is one of the worst assumptions that a person can make. He's going to have to forgive me for this. When he proves by his word, no. If it's willful, he really doesn't really forgive in that area. I only found it once in the scriptures. He did it for David. Everybody wants to be David. Everybody else, he didn't forgive. So don't put yourself in that boat, in that situation. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your word on this evening. We thank you for the principles of the doctrine of Messiah. Father, we talked about the repentance from dead works, and we talked about faith towards you. And we still have many scriptures to go in that principle, Father, and we will cover them. But the doctrines of baptism, we should not have to constantly keep going over these things in the laying on of hands in the scripture that a lot of people don't understand. To receive the Ruach HaKodesh, somebody had to lay hands on you. Somebody that has the Holy Spirit has to lay hands on you. Resurrection from the dead. Shouldn't be any question about resurrection from the dead or your eternal judgment. These are the principles that Mashiach taught according to your word. And these are the principles, Father, that you have said that we should understand these things and move on to perfection in them. Move on to perfection. You are calling for this from us. And so, Father, we need your help. We need for your spirit to be within us and to be walking in us and to guide us, to help us. We are your temple. You are our Elohim. It is not just in our mind. So, Father, help us, your people. Help us to walk in your way. Guide us, lead us, order our steps. Give us a heart and a mind to seek you with our whole heart. That nothing is more precious than this kingdom to us. And no one is more precious than this kingdom to us than you are. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. We will continue in this leaving or the principles of the doctrine of Christ, of Mashiach. We'll continue this in the morning. As I said, there's so much here. When I actually got into it and looking at each one of these principles and all the scriptures involved that Messiah taught, that he taught through the apostles, that is, that, you know, it's almost overwhelming. It's so much. You know, it talks about his eternal judgment. You don't hear the world talking about this a whole lot. Always his blessings, always his mercy. There's more scriptures on his judgment than there are on any of the other areas. Don't do what I say to do, I'm going to get you. It's the way he says it. So I guess, you know, we don't really want to hear that. So we'll continue this in the morning. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you, and I can't do for you what the Most High does for us. Seek him with your whole heart. Obey his voice. Don't value anything more than him. Don't value anyone or anything. And understand that he wants our all. Shalom, family, and happy Sabbath.
Which dwelleth